The reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, which can be found on page 599 of the Pew Bible. It's titled Comfort for God's People. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. May God bless this reading. Amen.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Economic uncertainty, the fear of violence in the city, terror all around, distrust and suspicion in the nation, the breakdown of community and family relations, poverty and the uncertainty of where your next meal will come from, homelessness, with many living in the streets. Edinburgh in 2017, but also Jerusalem in 540 BC. To both cities, to both communities living in those cities, the living word of the living God comes quickly and clearly. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. If there's someone here today who doesn't feel the need for the Lord's comfort, I would be bold to say you might be the only one. We might not be worried about where our next meal is coming from, but there are plenty in our city who are. We are troubled by the violence of terrorism in our world, in our nation, the uncertainty of international politics, the fragility of our global economy. These things have us in turmoil. And that's before we get to our personal stories. Worries about our families. Concerns about health. Anxiety about just what's going to happen next. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Isaiah 40 begins a series of chapters in this book of Isaiah spoken to comfort the people of God, spoken to bring shalom to a troubled and broken community, spoken by the God of grace to a people who need grace. If in any way, at any level, you feel the need for the grace of God in your life, this chapter is just for you. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to read it over for the next few weeks. It's just one chapter. You could add this to your weekly or perhaps even daily Bible reading through these weeks. Stick with just this one chapter. Read it over and over again. Hear these words of grace from God and let them get deep inside you. See if it doesn't change your life. This is how you will receive the grace of God from the God of grace. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. The words spoken here are the words of God. They were spoken by God to his prophet, declared by the prophet as the word of God to the people who needed to hear them. Words spoken by God to commission the prophet to speak this message of grace. This commissioning of the prophet to speak is the second such commissioning there is in the book of Isaiah. You might remember back in chapter 6, the prophet was shown this great vision of the Lord, high and exalted, the the train of his robe filling the temple, the four burning, shining ones surrounding the throne. The Lord asked, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah stepped forward, "Here I am, send me." And he was commissioned, he was sent to speak to the people words that they would not understand. A message of desolation and waste, of forsakenness and burning. And he was faithful to his commissioning. He spoke the words the people didn't understand, and God brought exile upon them. But now, a second commissioning. As it were, a new word. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak right to the heart of Jerusalem." Judgment is never the final word which God speaks. Grace is the final word. Comfort is our ultimate word from our God. Notice this gracious word of comfort is spoken to my people by your plural God. Not that God is plural, but the people to whom he speaks are many. The word of comfort is spoken to a community, to a family, to the people God has gathered together. It is a word we will hear together, a word which we must share together. For 400 years or so, we have, I think, overemphasized the individual. You, singular, need to hear. You, singular, need to respond. And that's true. But a group of individuals become a community. Too often we get stuck in our own personal concern for our own personal comfort, our own personal relationship with Jesus. The word of comfort is spoken to the whole city, the whole people of God. We, each one as individual, will only hear as we are part of the community, as we belong together with the family of God. This word was, first of all, for the people returning to Jerusalem from the Babylonian exile. As we read in Ezra and Nehemiah, we know that they were a divided people. The rich abused the poor. The religious looked down their noses at those they considered irreligious. This disunity of the people marked them out for decline and death. This word is now for us, the people of God in Craig Lockhart. The grace of God will flood over us in our unity, not in our disunity, in our fellowship together, not in our grumbling, our criticizing, our us and them murmuring. We are a family. We are the children of God. There is no us and them. Or there should be no us and them. If we are not united, we are marked out for decline and death. If we are not united, we will not hear and cannot receive this gracious comfort of God for us. We have only one God, one Lord, one Savior. There is one faith, one baptism, one hope. We are made the one people of God because our one Father loves us, because our one Savior Jesus has died for us, because the one Holy Spirit has been poured out equally upon us all. The grace of God makes us one so that together we may grow in knowing more of his grace, more of his comfort, more of his love. Paul wrote that we, you and I together, should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Is that what we are eager for? Is that the mark of our life together? Being united as the one people of our one God should be a passion among us, a fire burning within us. As we pursue this unity with one another, this love for one another, so we shall receive comfort from our God. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak to the very heart of Jerusalem." Cry to her that her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received double from the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. Why did the Babylonian exile fall upon the people in Judah and Jerusalem? Why were some dragged off as slaves to dig canals in Babylon and some left in poverty and rags to beg on the streets of a ruined city? Well, back in chapter 5, Isaiah the prophet was given a song to sing, a prophetic love song that God had for his nation, for his people, his beloved. The song tells of how the Lord had made a vineyard, how he had done everything that was needed for that vineyard, all that you could imagine to make a vineyard just the right place to go to grow good grapes. God did it. And the song tells us that the Lord came and looked for good grapes in the vineyard. He, as it were, reached out his hand to that a bunch of grapes and it squelched right through them. Yuck. Bad grapes. Because the grapes have gone bad, the Lord prophesied exile. He removed the vineyard. But why are the grapes bad? What's gone wrong? The Lord declares that he looked for the good fruit of justice, but found only wickedness. The rich were growing richer at the disadvantage of the poor. There was drunkenness all day throughout the community. They called evil good and good evil. They imagined they were wise. And yet bribery and corruption were endemic. This is the iniquity for which the Lord judges his people. Sins against other people. Sins against community. Living like this results in distress and discomfort, an absence of grace and comfort from the Lord. We need to say that we are a community just like this. The Lord looks to us for good grapes. But too often, yuck, only bad grapes. Our desire for cheap clothing produces poverty in Bangladesh, where overcrowded clothing workshops catch fire and there's no fire provision, safety measures in place. Our desire for all year round strawberries and cheap coffee is causing poverty in Africa. Our longing for computer chips to work mobile phones means thousands work in mineral mines in parts of Africa for nothing. And the profits go only to multinational companies with no benefit at all to the region or the nation where the minerals come from. We lack comfort from the Lord because we choose injustice rather than justice. We choose to be rich at the expense of the vulnerable. The hope of the poor is the promise of the Lord that he will forgive our sin. That's a challenging sentence. The hope for the poor is that God is going to forgive our sin. Such sin is a rejection of God and his purpose in our lives. We are to live generously, simply, with a great desire to do justice. The cross of Christ forgives our injustice. We are pardoned. Our warfare is ended. Our iniquity is taken away in the cross of Christ. We are comforted by God, restored to shalom with him, wholeness and peace with our God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. In this forgiveness of our sins, God transforms our lives to provide hope for the poor. This is the comfort of God for us. Our sins are forgiven. Listen to some words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. He comforts us with the forgiveness of our sins, in order that, so that, we might be able to comfort those who are similarly afflicted, so that we might share the comfort which we ourselves have received, comforting others with the comfort of God. It's the same word for comfort in Paul and in Isaiah. God alone is the source of all comfort. He comforts us by his grace through the cross of Jesus in the forgiveness of our sins, so that, with the aim that, for the purpose of our becoming a comfort to others, the same comfort we receive from God, we are to share with others. The word of grace and comfort is never a selfish word. Never. Yes, it is good news for us. It is good news that we have been forgiven of our sin. We are comforted in this. But that's only the beginning. The good news is that having been forgiven, we are to forgive others. We are to live in such a way that we comfort and forgive others. This is the purpose of God. We are to choose fair wages and fair conditions for workers in Asia and Africa rather than cheap prices. We are to live to be a blessing to others rather than living in our own selfishness. The gracious comfort of God, the forgiveness of sins in your life, is a call from God to live for the comfort of others. You are God's gift to the world to be a blessing to the nations. We know the comfort of our God in the forgiveness of our sins. We live in the comfort of our God as we live in sharing that comfort and forgiveness with others. Comfort of God is for people, for a community. Yes, for the people of God, but also for all people. God so loved his own people that he gave his one-of-a-kind son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have the life of the kingdom. The verse actually said, God so loved the whole world that he gave his one-of-a-kind son, that all who believe in him might not perish but share the life of the kingdom. To a people just 3 months out from being slaves in Egypt, God declared that he was making them his own treasured possession among all peoples, a kingdom of priests to serve others, a holy nation to live for the blessing of all the nations. With exactly the same words, the Apostle Peter describes the church. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God's grace, the gift of his comfort, shapes us into this chosen race, this chosen people. Chosen for service to others. Elect for mission. To be given by God to the nations and peoples of the earth. His royal priesthood, which means service. Those who will proclaim the good news in the darkness, that there is light, and all are welcomed into that light. Those who will receive mercy, receive comfort from God, and will understand in receiving that, that they are now the people who will share that mercy and comfort with others. Have you received the comfort of the Lord? Even now, perhaps there will be some who recognize in their own lives the need for this comfort. Perhaps you're feeling distressed and anxious, and you need to know that God is right with you, has you in his hand, will comfort you right now. Perhaps you would like to talk about receiving the Lord's comfort in your own life. Why not after the service come and wait down here at the front? And after I've been to the door, I'll come and speak with you and pray with you. Have you already received the comfort of the Lord? Well, what are you doing with it in your life? Now that you're comforted with God, what are you doing next? Will you live a life eager for the unity of the people of God? Will you seek the comfort and peace of the family of God? Will you pursue justice for all, privileging the poor and the vulnerable? Will you give your life overflowing with the gracious comfort of God for you so that you might share that comfort with others? Will you be the voice, the very voice of God, speaking the words of grace and comfort to someone else who needs it? Words of inclusion and forgiveness. Perhaps you would like to talk further about how you live God's comfort in your own life and what that means for you. You come and wait at the front, and I'll come and speak and pray with you also. The gracious word of the Lord for you is comfort. Receive his comfort. Be filled to overflowing with the comfort of the Lord. Live so that it would be said of you, there is someone who shares God's comfort with others. Let's pray together. God of grace, we do not deserve your grace. And so we thank you all the more that freely you pour your grace upon us. Help us, each one, to receive your comfort, whether for the first time or for the 100th time. Let us right now be comforted by you. And we pray that you would transform our lives, change us from the inside out, that we would become your agents of comfort, sharing your grace with all around us. Bless us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.